Merhaba from BA. This is a Rorschach Turkey update from the 15th of July 2025. A quick summary of what's going down in Turkey. On Friday the 11th, Turkish and Iraqi officials attended a ceremony at the Jesana Cave in northern Iraq's Sulaymaniyah region, where 30 fighters of the Kurdistan Workers' Party, or PKK, burned rifles and machine guns as a symbolic step toward ending armed struggle and embracing democratic politics. President Erdogan called the event a historic milestone. He said that the disarmament wasn't the result of backroom deals, but part of a plan to end terrorism and build peace. The PKK said it will pursue its goals, which center on Kurdish cultural rights and political recognition, through legal and political means. However, the efforts to legitimize the PKK were put into question in Turkey, as many view the party as a group of terrorists responsible for killing soldiers and civilians for decades. The hashtag Öcalan is a baby killer, referencing the organization's imprisoned leader, trended widely, reflecting strong public condemnation of the group's violent past. In related news, on Saturday the 12th, jailed journalist Fatih Altaylı criticized what he called a deliberate pause in opposition arrests over the weekend, saying authorities pulled back to keep public focus on the PKK's symbolic disarmament. He also condemned President Erdogan's speech at the Justice and Development Party's summit, during which he praised the peace process between the government and the PKK. Altaylı suggested the move aimed to control the narrative during a politically sensitive moment, by keeping attention fixed on the disarmament ceremony and Erdogan's framing of events. Altaylı implied the government sought to normalize the PKK's new role and present Öcalan as a legitimate actor in the peace process without triggering backlash that mass opposition arrests might provoke. On that note, in our previous show, we reported that authorities arrested three opposition mayors from the southern cities of Adana, Antalya, and Adıyaman on the 5th of July in a corruption probe, accusing them of bribery and manipulating municipal tenders through a network. This week, we've got an update. On Tuesday the 8th, the mayor of Adıyaman was granted house arrest, leaving prison. His release largely eased the growing public unrest in Adıyaman. The Interior Ministry suspended him from office, marking the 14th Republican People's Party mayor removed recently. The mayor of Antalya has also been suspended, but the mayor of Adana is still in jail. The opposition calls these moves political targeting, while the government insists it is combating corruption. On Friday the 11th, Spotify said it was weighing a full or partial exit from Turkey. The drama kicked off when Deputy Culture Minister slammed user-made playlists mocking First Lady Emine Erdogan, such as Emine Erdogan Hot Girl playlist. He called them offensive to national and religious values. Meanwhile, the competition authority opened a probe into whether Spotify favors some artists messing with royalty fairness. Spotify insists it won't censor users and is talking with Turkish officials, but could go as far as pulling out from Turkey entirely if the pressure continues. The clash raised questions about how digital platforms navigate creative expression in a country where cultural expectations carry strong political influence. In some international news, on Wednesday the 10th, Kenan Polio, the British Consul General in Istanbul, said negotiations over Turkey's purchase of Eurofighter Typhoon jets are progressing quite positively. The country aims to buy up to 40 jets, 20 new, 20 used, to replace its aging F-16 fleet. The United Kingdom, Germany, Italy, and Spain jointly produce the aircraft, and any deal requires full approval from all four nations. Germany had previously resisted, but recent high-level diplomacy, including talks between President Erdogan and European leaders at the NATO summit, reportedly helped move things forward. Speaking of the UK, on Tuesday the 8th, London hosted the UK-Turkey Islamic Finance Forum, which the UK Department for Business and Trade and Turkey's Participation Banks Association, or TKBB, organized. Kenan Polio opened the event, followed by the Turkish finance minister, who spoke about Turkey's green transition and economic reforms. Islamic finance is a system based on religious principles that ban interest and speculative gains. Instead, it promotes profit and loss sharing, real economic activity, and ethical investment. In Turkey, this system operates through participatory banks. The forum ended with a cooperation deal between the TKBB and the UK Export Finance to boost joint work in trade, education, and international standards, strengthening economic ties between the two countries. On updates from another ministry, on Friday the 11th, Health Minister Kemal Memişoğlu announced the signing of a Justice and Health Ministry Cooperation Protocol in Ankara. The protocol includes a new detox and rehab units for convicted individuals struggling with addiction. A 10-bed inpatient detox center will open at a city hospital in the eastern city of Elazığ, and a dedicated rehab unit is being set up inside Istanbul's Bakırköy Women's Prison. Memişoğlu said the centers will offer medical care and broader support to reduce repeat offenses. He called addiction a treatable disease and stressed the need to fight its stigma. Turkey currently has over 1,600 prison beds for inpatient addiction and mental health care. On to agricultural news. On Tuesday the 15th, Şemsi Bayraktar, the head of Turkey's Union of Chambers of Agriculture, described this year as a disaster year for livestock. He said widespread foot and mouth disease has hit livestock hard, forcing animal markets to close in tens of provinces, halting animal movements in affected areas. The disease causes fever, loss of appetite, and drops in meat and milk production. Bayraktar warned that this year's virus strain appears more deadly, causing significant animal losses and economic damage to farmers. He said illegal imports of live animals and meat through borders remain the main cause of the disease and called for strict monitoring. He urged farmers to follow hygiene and quarantine measures and called on authorities to support producers by deferring agricultural loans for at least a year due to sales disruptions. On the same day, taxi drivers in Istanbul requested a new 35% fare hike due to rising costs. The Istanbul Taxi Drivers Chamber pointed out significant rises in fuel, maintenance, spare parts, insurance, and labor expenses. It stressed current rates no longer cover operational costs amid economic fluctuations. The last time fares were increased was in January. Currently, the base fare sits at 42 liras, which is just over $1. The per kilometer rate is 28 liras, around 70 US cents, and the drop-off fee sits at 135 liras, just over $3. If the city council approves the hike, the base fee will increase to 57 liras, about $1.5. The per kilometer rate will reach 38 liras, almost a dollar, and the drop-off charge will rise to 182 liras and a little less than $5. In other news, Tuesday the 15th marked the anniversary of the failed 2016 coup attempt that left around 250 people dead and over 2,000 injured. The government holds the Gulen movement responsible for orchestrating the coup. The organization targeted key state institutions, including parliament and the presidential complex, while tanks blocked bridges in Istanbul. Civilians resisted in the streets, and the uprising collapsed within hours. The government declared a state of emergency that lasted 2 years, resulting in mass arrests, widespread purges in the military, judiciary, education, and media, and the closure of many institutions. Officials described the measures as necessary to protect democracy. Critics, however, argue the response led to shrinking freedoms and a consolidation of power. For many families, the day remains one of grief rather than celebration. Wrapping up this episode on Saturday the 12th, the ancient city of Sardis and the Lydian tumuli of Bin Tepe, located in the western Manisa province, were added to UNESCO's World Heritage List. The 7,500-hectare archaeological site was once a capital of the Lydian kingdom and birthplace of coinage. More than 100 grand tumuli, large burial mounds from around 600 BCE, dot the landscape. The site becomes Turkey's 22nd UNESCO entry, boosting local tourism and highlighting Anatolia's ancient legacy. And that's it for this week. Thank you for joining us. If you are listening to us on Spotify, leave a comment on the episode. Comments are private and we won't publish them. Drop us your email if you want us to get back to you. Hostcha Kalin,